It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a privilege it is to be able to share with you once again the Word of God. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Exodus, and of course we'll be looking at some other scriptures as well. God is frequently likened to a rock in the Old Testament. We might ask the question, why is God likened to a rock? Well, a study of the use of the word rock in the Old Testament discloses three reasons the Lord is likened to a rock. First of all, the rock was a place of provision. In Exodus chapter 17, we're going to read verses 2 through 6, and we see the rock was a place of provision by being smitten. It says there in Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 2, "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smitest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders." We see the rock was a place of provision by being smitten. These people wanted water, and they were going against what God had promised them. He said, "I'm going to take care of you." But they got excited, and they wanted to run ahead of God. They said, "Why did you bring us out of the land of Egypt, Moses, just to die in this awful, terrible place that you brought us to?" In essence, they were saying, "God, why did you bring me here?" In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Oftentimes, as people go through this life, they don't understand why things happen to them. And many people who are going to die, they will wake up one day in a devil's hell, blaming God for them being there when, all along, we look at the Word of God and it says, "He was wounded for our transgressions." People refuse to receive what God has done for them. Jesus came into this world. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If people murmur against God today, just like they did in Exodus chapter 17 that we just read, but God says, "Believe on my Son, and you'll have eternal life. Don't murmur against me. Quit refusing what I've given you. Receive Jesus as your Savior." Well, we read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8 about a man by the name of Abraham. "Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide," he told his son. It says there, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide." In other words, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Well, did God provide that lamb? Well, in the Old Testament, we read in Genesis 22 how that God did provide a lamb. He provided something there, a ram caught in the thicket. Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice his son because God had told him to. Now, God didn't let him do it, but this is an indication how that God provides. Abraham trusted God instead of chiding with God and saying, "God, You promised that you would provide a lamb. Abraham trusted God, and God provided that lamb. Well, we read on in the scriptures how that God provided the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. The rock was a place of provision of being smitten, as we read in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was smitten. He is the one who is our provision. The rock was a place of provision in the Old Testament, and Jesus Christ is the rock, a place of provision for us today. Notice secondly, if you would, that the rock was to provide an abundance, in abundance. In Psalm 78 and verse 16, it says, He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Isaiah 55 and verse 7 says this, Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God provides an abundant pardon for those who will trust him, for those who take him at his word. When I speak or when I teach the word of God, I encourage every person to have the word of God in front of them, to look at that word, to compare scripture with scripture. I also encourage people when they are in church and they're listening to a pastor or the man of God who is preaching or that person who is teaching, that they take that word of God and they compare scripture with scripture, and they make sure that the person who is speaking the word of God, not their thoughts, but what God has to say. Thus, we see that saith the Lord in his word. It's his word that we look to. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God provides in abundance, just as he provided an abundance of water in Exodus chapter 17. He provides an abundance of mercy upon us. He provides everything we need as saved people, as people of the human race, those people who trust him. We, human beings, receive an abundance. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. Oh, we find out who that rock really was in the wilderness. And it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. All through the Word of God, we see Jesus Christ. How could anyone refuse to see by following the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the Savior of those people who will trust him and ask him to come into their hearts? Well, the rock that we see in Exodus chapter 17 was the rock of provision, and we see Christ as the rock of provision. We also see the rock was a place of safety by being a cleft. In Exodus chapter 33, in verses 21 through 23, it says, And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Well, Moses had requested that he see God face to face, but God said, You can't do that, but I'm going to make it possible for you to do something here. He said, Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand, while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Do you remember that old song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me? Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin a double cure, safe from wrath, and make me pure. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, God has us in his hand. God the Father has Christ the Son in his hand, and guess who's in both our hands? We are. As saved people, God has provided a cleft in the rock for us to be hidden. We are hidden from the enemy. Psalm chapter 31 and verse 2 says, as David wrote, Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. See, God protects us. He protects us from our enemies, and the biggest enemy we have, I believe, is the flesh, ourselves. The biggest enemy that we have in the flesh, and of course we understand that God protects us from the devil. He protects us from those things, but I believe that our flesh gives us more trouble than anything else. But if we trust in God and turn to him and say, Lord, cleanse me from sin. Keep my mind pure. Help me, Lord, to walk in the light that you have given. That enemy, the flesh, is going to be defeated by the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about asking God for a cleansing daily as a Christian. Well, the third thing I want you to see is the rock was a place of stability. First, it was upon which the believer could stand securely. In Psalm 40 and verse 2, it says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. We've been saved, folks, by trusting Jesus as our Savior. He brought us up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set our feet upon a rock and established our goings. Once again, that favorite old song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Are you on the rock today? The Bible tells us also upon which the believer could stand triumphantly is that rock. Are you on that rock? Psalm 27 verses 5 through 6 says this, For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Jesus Christ is the rock. Are you founded upon him today? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you asked him to come into your heart? If not, may I invite you to do so right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to save me so I can go to heaven one day and see you face to face and thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Come into my heart. I bow my heart right now and say, Lord, I want you as my Savior. And as a saved person, why not ask him to guide and direct you right now and let him use you for his honor and his glory.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.